For those of you who don't have a program, you're probably asking, what is he doing there? My part is the moderator part. I was elected this last presbytery, and so I am now serving. And I have the privilege of being here this evening representing the Presbytery of the Dakotas at this proceeding, talking to you about the proceedings of the presbytery and conducting the rest of the service. John came to our presbytery a few years ago and said, I'd like to come under care. And we said, okay. And a little bit before that, this long, tall, lanky, skinny kid came walking into the gymnasium one day where we used to worship. And I looked at him and I walked up to him and I said, basketball trials are Monday. This is a worship service. He says, I know, I came for the worship service. It's a privilege for me to be here this evening and moderate this service, because I've known this young man quite some time. And it's a privilege for me to do this. After we took Sean under care at Presbytery, we had the normal exams, and we heard him preach once. You did preach once, didn't you? Yeah, that was a pretty trying day, as I remember it. And then he enrolled in some seminary somewhere. And he went through all of that. And he told us one day, well, I graduated. So we said, okay. We gave him his final exams in church history, and Hebrew and Greek, and English Bible, German Bible, Swedish Bible, all that stuff. The only one we didn't give him any exams in was Latin. But so, here we are this evening carrying out the orders of Presbytery to install Sean as a minister and to ordain him. That's what this meeting is about. That's what it's for. And that's exactly what we will be doing this evening. The next thing on the program, it says the warrant and nature of the office. You'll turn on the other side of your program. You can read along as I read this. Take my glasses off so I can see what I'm reading. The Word of God clearly teaches that the office of minister was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul declares that our Lord gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. The duties of the minister of Christ may briefly be set forth under the following heads: the faithful exposition of the Word of God and its application to the needs of the hearers, in order that the unconverted may be reconciled to God, and that the saints may be built up in their most holy faith; the offering of prayer to the Lord on behalf of the congregation; the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper; and the exercise, in conjunction with the ruling elders, of the government and discipline of the church. The office of the minister is the first in the church for dignity and usefulness. The person who fills this office is designated in Scripture by different names expressive of his various duties. As he has the oversight of the flock of Christ, he is termed bishop. As he feeds them with spiritual food, he is termed minister, as it is his duty to be grave and prudent and an example to the flock and to govern well in the house of God, he is termed presbyter or elder. As he is sent to declare the will of God to sinners and to beseech them to be reconciled to God through Christ, he is termed ambassador. And he is commanded to warn the house of Israel against the enemies of God and his word. He is termed watchman. And as he dispenses the manifold grace of God and the ordinances instituted by Christ, he is termed steward of the mysteries of God. Sean, I have a few questions to ask you, so would you mind stepping up here? Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the Confession of Faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Do you approve of the government, discipline, and worship of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church?
I do.
Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord?
I do.
Have you been influenced, as far as you know, your own heart to seek the office of the holy ministry from the love of God and a sincere desire to promote His glory in the gospel of His Son?
I do.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel and the purity, the peace, and unity of the church, where whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all private and personal duties which become you as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, as well as in all the duties of your office, endeavoring to adorn the profession of the gospel by your life and walking with exemplary piety before the flock over which God shall make you overseer?
I do.
Are you now willing to take the charge of this congregation in agreement with your declaration when you accepted their call, and do you promise to discharge the duties of a pastor to them as God shall give you strength?
I do.
Now the congregation. I was on page 48. I was supposed to start on page 46. You will respond by raising your right hands. Do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive John Mathis, whom you have called to be your minister? Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love, and to submit to him in the due exercise of discipline? Do you promise to encourage him in his arduous labor and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification? And do you promise to continue to him while he is your pastor the worldly maintenance which you have promised, and whatever else you may see needful for the honor of religion and his comfort among you? Him having answered all the questions, you having answered all the questions, it is time now for me to ask the ruling and the teaching elders to come forth, and so that we can lay hands on Mr. Matt.